For Dishing Up Nutrition with licensed nutritionist Darlene Kvist. Each week, Darlene explains the connection between what you eat and how you feel. Stay tuned to hear practical, real-life solutions for healthier living through good nutrition. Dishing Up Nutrition is brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones. Looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, a company providing therapeutic nutrition counseling for your health concerns. I'm Darlene Kvist, licensed nutritionist, and I thank all of you for listening today. You know, in the past 3 to 4 weeks, there has been an explosion of nutrition-related research and articles in the news. One that we will discuss later involves researchers at the University of Southern California School of Dentistry. They have linked Fosamax, a type of drug that is used for osteoporosis, to a condition called jaw necrosis. And as long as we're discussing bones, I thought we would throw in another little tidbit today. Let's look at the ingredients found in those chocolate calcium chews. So if you're using those for your calcium, maybe you should find a better calcium product, because if you're truly concerned about your bones and health, those might not be the best for you. And this morning, gosh, I'm pleased to have two wonderful nutrition experts joining me today. First, let me introduce Cassie Wienis. Cassie is a registered dietitian, and she sees our clients at our Wyzetta office and teaches many nutrition classes to business groups and community groups. And you've been teaching again this past week, haven't you?
Yes. This last Thursday, I was the keynote speaker for the Association of Administrative Professionals Conference in Brooklyn Park. What an inquisitive group of ladies that was. Boy, they kept me on my toes with lots of questions, which was great because I knew they were interested in listening then.
Cassie, could you answer them all?
Yes, I'm getting better and better at that.
I know you could.
That's when teaching really gets fun, when you get that confident in your subject matter that you just love those questions because you know the answers. The topic was stress-busting foods, and I'm betting we're going to get more and more people requesting that one because it's stressful.
It's very stressful.
And it's not going to get any better with the economics of things here for a while.
Unemployment rate hit 8.5, I think, this morning, so that's what I heard.
Scary. Mm-hmm. Yep. So this was a very pertinent topic. And like I said, they were really interested. Afterwards, the gal that brought us in and kind of set it up, she said to me, as you can tell, they love this kind of stuff. And it was true. It was a great bunch of people and they were very interested. And another thing I wanted to mention, because some of the listeners might be interested in this, the gal that brought us into this Association of Administrative Professionals Conference, that's a mouthful. She was sharing with me after the conference was over that she was going to ask their national board at their upcoming yearly meeting if they could get presentations that are nutrition related, such as these, to count for their continuing ed credits. Mm-hmm. I don't know that they call them continuing ed exactly, but it was that type of a concept. Because as she said, they need to know this stuff.
They do. Nutrition affects everything, as we keep telling people.
Absolutely. It affects your ability to handle stress. It affects your emotion. It can mean lost time at work if you don't know those connections. So hopefully she gets that to pass. But I just want to remind listeners that we already know that our presentations count for continuing ed for nurses. Mm-hmm. Many of them count for continuing ed for registered dietitians. So just keep that in mind. You know, if you're looking for a speaker and it can count for extra credits too. Double bonus.
Mm-hmm. And I think also, our teachers could use these for continuing education credits. So just a lot of people that need continuing ed, they qualify and are, we all have our goals in every one of our classes, and we say that that's one of the requirements, and that's why we have them there. So
exactly. Well, today we have a great topic, but before I tell you what that is, I need to say good morning to my two biggest fans back home. Can't let that go by. Good morning, Riley. Good morning, Marissa. They would notice that if I missed that. Today our topic is digestion, and I have some very astounding statistics here in front of me. Did you gals know that over 44% of Americans have heartburn?
Oh, I
believe. Wow.
It's
on a regular basis.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
80 million people on this continent have what is termed irritable bowel syndrome, or IBS. And 100 million people in the U.S. and Canada combined have ongoing long-term gastrointestinal types of symptoms of some sort.
You know, I've had many, many clients over the past months that it's just kind of amazing. They are actually experiencing 10 to 12 episodes of diarrhea per day, and they've been doing it for many, 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 many years. And, you know, sometimes it's up to 17 years. I don't know, there's something about 17 years. I've had many people come in and explain that they've had this ongoing diarrhea problem for that long. And, you know, I'm really pleased to say that with just changing their nutrition, that every one of these clients so far has returned to normal bowel function. And it's like a life-freeing event for them. So today we're going to be discussing digestive issues. But first I want to introduce our other nutrition expert. And this is Anna Derhak. And Anna has just completed her master's degree in nutrition and pretty soon will be a licensed nutritionist. And everyone at Nutritional Weight and Wellness is really a proud, and probably mom and dad too, and everybody else in your family, are really proud of her accomplishments because she completed her master's degree while teaching for us, while teaching many classes for us, and becoming a mother to really two cute little girls, Isabella and Genevieve. And everybody, and every time we get a remark back on Anna's teaching, it's everybody loves her enthusiasm, but they love her knowledge. She has incredible nutrition knowledge. And I'm happy to say that I think with a little extra time, she's going to be working more with clients, seeing clients both on Friday afternoons and on Saturdays. And Anna, it's nice to have you back on the show. I didn't want to put more stress on you for a while, so that's why... Now we can put more stress on you.
Oh, of course. Thanks, Star, for having me.
So we want to talk, Anna. We want to talk a little bit because I talked about we've got this research about Fosamax. So
yes.
What happened with this?
Well, this study, which was conducted by the School of Dentistry, and you talked about it from the University of Southern California, it first was acknowledged that even short-term use of oral osteoporosis drugs like Fosamax may leave your jaw vulnerable to necrosis. So we ask ourselves, what is necrosis of the jaw? And basically it means it's a dead jaw, and it's a rare bone disease in which the bone deteriorates and dies. So during dental procedures, the jawbone can actually crumble, often resulting in pain, numbness, loss of teeth, and infection.
Mm-hmm. And it's not just the Fosamax, although I will say that's the one I most commonly hear women on that I see in clinical practice, but Boniva, Actonel, and there's another one. Is it more of a newer drug?
Mm-hmm.
Zometa?
Yeah, Zometa.
Zometa. Yeah.
But all of them fall into the same class of drugs. They're what is called bisphosphonate drugs, so they all have the same mechanism of action, meaning they can all lead to this dead jawbone. Most often, we see them prescribed to women in their late 40s or older who are experiencing bone loss, whether it's osteopenia or osteoporosis. Now, I have to say, at this presentation I gave last Saturday, one of the gals in the audience came up to talk to me afterwards, and she had a lot of different health issues going on that she was asking me a few questions about. But one of the things was she was recently diagnosed with osteoporosis, and she's only 44 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And she's telling me this, and right away I kind of caught my breath, and I said, oh, they didn't put you on Fosamax, did they? You're so young. She said, no, actually, the doctor said, because I am this young, they have confidence that I can rebuild bone in more natural way or with some more natural approaches. So they're taking some different routes first, and I was so pleased. And I think maybe some of the doctors are finding some time to read some of this research, like Anna was just talking about, that's telling us they're not necessarily the best route to go if you're trying to rebuild bone. So,
but you know, osteoporosis really affects about 10 million Americans, and Fosamax is prescribed. It's the 21st most prescribed drug on the market.
Wow.
Jeez.
So if you have osteoporosis, you know, it really is a complex nutrition problem. And just taking a drug like a Fosamax or, you know, throwing some calcium at it just won't solve the problem. It really, it actually could maybe, and I find this often, it starts in the digestive tract. It's really a digestive problem.
Yeah. And it's always a good reason and a good idea to see a nutritionist to sort out the cause of your bone loss, because it could be coming from many different areas. So just to keep that in mind as well, because you want to be able to rebuild your bones in a natural and safe way.
You know, and Dar just mentioned it could be related to a digestive problem. When you look at that category of health issues, meaning digestive problems, they're the number one health problem in North America as a collective whole. And this could mean everything from hemorrhoids to heartburn to colon cancer. All of those things fall under that umbrella of digestive problems. And they mean a lot of time lost at work, at school, at play, more so than any other group of health problems. And the sad part is, and we see it in clinical practice, these digestive problems are happening much more frequently than they were in the past, and at a much earlier age.
Much earlier age, aren't they? Mm-hmm.
Yes. And a couple nights ago, I don't know if you gals caught it, but on Fox 9, they had a short news clip about the number of kids that are getting kidney stones. Young kids, like 7, 8, 9 years old, and how this is really on the rise.
Kidney stones. I mean, we always think of that as somebody that's much older.
An adult problem. I was just floored. And so, of course, I'm in the kitchen washing dishes, and I stopped to listen. And they were giving out a few different statistics from across the U.S., but one that they said was that at Children's Hospital in Philadelphia, since 2005, so just 4 years ago, the number of kids treated for kidney stones climbed from 10 a year to 5 a week.
Oh, my gosh.
I thought I heard it wrong. Yeah, I'm like, no way. And so I got on the internet and looked up Fox 9 to make sure I got that right, because I wanted to mention it on the radio. And it's right, from 10 a year to 5 a week in these young kids. Jeez. And what the pediatrician said, and I was so proud that they mentioned this, the pediatricians told the parents a lot of the reason is because of all the fast food that these kids are getting. So you need to stop driving through the drive-thru with your
kids. No kidding.
You know, it's the it's the trans fats and probably the soda, you know, those two things. I think what we probably need to do is take a quick break. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, a company specializing in therapeutic nutrition counseling for your health concerns. I believe women have gotten the message that they need to protect their bones from thinning and from breakage. But I guess I think most women are misdirected. They either believe Sally Fields and they're taking Boniva, or they take those tasty little calcium chews for their calcium. So why don't those little chocolate chews support bone density? When we come back, Cassie will share the ingredients and you be the judge as to whether you want to rely on high fructose corn syrup and trans fats to build your bones. So questions today about digestive issues or about your bones, give us a call at 651-641-1071.
Living life out loud on FM 107.1.
Paradise and put up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Cassie Wienus, registered dietitian, and I'm here with nutritionists Anna Durhock and Darlene Kvist. If you're just joining us, we're discussing bone health and digestion, and we told you we were going to let you in on the secret with those little chocolate chews. So if you're curious, if you're eating those little chocolate chews for your calcium, and I know a lot of hospitals are giving them out as free samples. My mom was doing them for quite a while because they kind of gave her chocolate fix, but I set her straight on that. But the first ingredient, if you have them in your cupboard, go pull it out and read along with me. The first ingredient is high fructose corn syrup. And I don't know if the listeners know this, but whenever you're reading a product, the first ingredient is always the one that's in that product in the highest amount. So the majority of that calcium supplement is man-made high fructose corn syrup.
So let me stop you. Why would that be a problem? I mean, you know, if someone is out there and saying, well, what's
big
wrong
deal,
with
it? Right?
Yeah. So what does that do to the calcium that's in your bones when you take in high fructose corn syrup?
Great question. And sugar leaches minerals from your bones. So you're counteracting exactly what you're trying to do, which is build bone, with a product that's going to leach
the minerals,
the main product from your bone. I know.
So what else is in that stuff?
Second ingredient is a form of calcium, but it's not the best form. It's calcium carbonate, which is a pretty cheap form of calcium, and it's not very absorbable.
And, I think if I remember right, a lot of people describe that as looking and acting like chalk almost. That's what it is.
Which probably isn't going to sit very well in your stomach and isn't going to absorb very well.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And then the next ingredient is a little more sugar. You got to make it really sweet for these ladies to buy it, right? And then some trans fats, partially hydrogenated oils.
And we know then.
Yeah, so you're probably thinking to yourself, as we are right now, why would that support your bones?
Exactly. Well, we know that it doesn't support your bones. So,
but it sells.
But it sells because it's got a lot of sugar in it and it tastes good. And people believe the ads that it's really going to help them build their bones, and it doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So before we went on break, we were talking about digestion, and we were also talking about bones, but we were trying to talk a little bit more about digestion. So let's kind of finish our talk a little bit about that before we start taking calls.
Okay. Often people don't really understand the connection between digestive problems and their health, but clinically we have found a relationship between digestive issues and many autoimmune diseases. And autoimmune diseases like lupus, even MS, rheumatoid arthritis, type 1 diabetes, and other chronic inflammatory diseases such as asthma and even allergies.
Well, I have a great research article here to talk about. There's a wonderful researcher. His name is Dr. Nigel Plummer. Great name. And he's from Great Britain, and he's been researching these connections, the connections between your digestive health and all these kind of inflammatory conditions. And he found by supplementing babies, and he took about 1,500 babies in each group, and he found by supplementing babies with extra bifidobacteria, from birth to 6 months, these children, they had less allergies, 40 to 60% less allergies, 40 to 60% less asthma, and 40 to 60% less ADD. And where do you get bifidobacteria? We know because it's in breast milk, don't we?
Yeah,
and
so
just by giving those babies extra bifidobacteria, you know, for 6 months, they had less of these conditions. So we have lots of callers already on the line, so let's take one. Hi, Brittany. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. You have a question?
I do. I am 23 years old, and I have been tested for Crohn's disease, more like digestive issues, just like that, IBS, all of that. I eat very healthy. I exercise every day, and they still can't figure out what my issue is. And they just said to go a more natural route, and so I've been taking something called digestive enzymes.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering if that was a good way to go about it or if there's something else I should be doing.
Well, I think there's many, many steps. First of all, I mean, sometimes when people say they are eating healthy, you know, they may be, but what does that really mean for what's going on in your body?
Sure.
And I don't know, are you eating anything that has gluten in it?
I guess I don't really keep track of that. I mean, I eat, you know, a lot of fruits and veggies, salads, that sort of thing.
Okay.
Not, you know, fast food or anything like that. And I guess that was my thought of being healthy, but...
Yeah. Well, I think, and for most people that is healthy, but sometimes with people have these special conditions, you have to kind of go to this next level. And so if we saw you as a client, we would probably look at possibly at least having you eliminate gluten from your diet and maybe dairy from your diet for at least 6 to 8 weeks to make sure that that's not a problem and see if your symptoms don't go away.
Oh, sure.
And then... we would look at, you know, I was just talking about bifidobacteria, Bifidobacteria is the bacteria that's in your intestinal lining. And so we know that, and that's in breast milk, but you can also take it as a supplement. And to help repair that intestinal lining is one of the things that we would look at. I think when you think about a digestive enzyme, they're great, but they're not the healing factor that most people need. You know,
aloe too. Do you think that the aloe is more of a healing, natural healing?
It's more of a natural healing, as long as it doesn't end up giving you diarrhea, and that's the problem with aloe sometimes.
Right.
So, go ahead.
When they tested me for my Crohn's, do you think that would have shown up though
no.
in a colonoscopy?
No, it won't.
As far as the bacteria or anything?
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't.
No,
okay.
No. And so. Okay. You know, I would encourage you to make an appointment with one of us and kind of get down to the very basic. And we work with lots and lots of people with these conditions. And it doesn't mean that you're totally cured, but you no longer have symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really, as long as you follow a very careful plan, that's the way it is. So,
right.
So anyway...
All right, thank you so much.
Okay, thanks for the call. Great call. So we'll just take another call here.
Yeah, let's take another.
Good morning, Bruce. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Good morning. I have a question regarding oatmeal.
Okay, oatmeal.
I enjoy having oatmeal on a regular basis for breakfast and actually just eat the Quaker Oats brand off the shelf. And in recent articles I've read about the benefits of oatmeal, it always mentions steel-cut oatmeal. And my question is one superior than the other for nutritional value?
One of you, go ahead. Who wants to answer steel-cut versus the other? Anna,
I can do it. Steel-cut oats are just less refined than rolled oats, even though rolled oats are still good for you. What they do is they just take a steel blade and they just cut the oat right off the plant, and it's usually easier to digest.
And it affects your blood sugar less. Mm-hmm. If you were to look at how fast and how high your blood sugar spikes from oatmeal versus steel cut oats doesn't raise your blood sugars as much, which is what you want.
Yeah.
Okay.
And actually, Bruce, it has a little bit more fiber to it. So, you know, move up to steel cut oats.
Okay, well, that's what I need to know. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks for the call.
Thanks, Bruce.
So people are up listening to us this morning, and we're getting callers.
We're not the only ones awake at this hour.
So I think what we'll do is we'll take a quick break, and that'll give us a little bit more time when we come back. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness. For a long life and an active long life, it is important to maintain healthy bones. If you're experiencing osteopenia or osteoporosis, now is a time for a personalized nutritional consultation so that you can restore and maintain healthy bones. When we come back, Cassie and Anna will share some basic thoughts on how you can maintain your bones in a healthy manner. So questions today, 651-641-1071.
Living Life Out Loud on FM 107.1. Laugh along.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. If you've been listening since the top of the hour, you probably understand by now that those Fosamax-type drugs for osteoporosis are associated with a lot of different health risks, and the chocolate chews that are marketed as calcium supplements are, you know, really just an unhealthy candy. So we've told you enough about what not to do, but what are some basic habits and some supplements that you should consider for bone health? Well, my first recommendation would be to stop all of the sodas. So if you're a regular pop drinker, most of those sodas contain phosphoric acid, and that blocks calcium absorption.
And then a second really important thing to do is eat sufficient amount of animal protein, at least 10 to 14 ounces a day, and that builds the collagen in your bones.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you don't just need the calcium, you need that protein too. And most people, I don't think, realize that you need fats. The way I think of bone is that it's not just minerals, it's sort of like a mesh. I always think of the screen in a screen door, and then the minerals are attached to that mesh, And it's the fat that makes up the mesh.
Perfect. Yeah, that's a great
I'm such a visual person, so that's how I think of
awesome.
It. And if you're mainly eating the junky fats, you're going to have a junky mesh.
That's right.
It's not going to hold your bones up.
Yeah, lots of porous holes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So eat the healthy fats for healthy bones. And for most people, to add at least a tablespoon of healthy fat to each meal and snack is what you need for strong bones.
And then also, I'm sure a lot of people have heard about this, but vitamin D. Make sure you have your vitamin D levels tested. And if it's, you know, if it's under 50, you definitely need to be supplementing with more vitamin D, at least 1,000 to maybe 4,000 IUs every day.
Yep, very important.
And, you know, you can't believe this, and you may be finding this true too, but I have many people that are coming in, and their vitamin D level is 17 or 3 or 6. And so no wonder they have osteoporosis and depression.
And it takes a while to build it back up, too.
It does. Mm-hmm.
And it takes a good supplement, yeah. So make sure you're getting a D3, or another term for that is cholecalciferol. Sometimes it'll say that on the bottle.
Right.
That's an absorbable form.
Yeah.
And it doesn't stop there. You need some magnesium, too, to build bones. And the best absorbable form is magnesium glycinate. If you have magnesium oxide in your cupboard, I say just throw it out because that's not absorbable. But magnesium glycinate, for every 1,000 milligrams of calcium, make sure you have 500 milligrams of magnesium. You want that 2-to-1 ratio for healthy bones.
Right. And then, obviously, you want a good form of calcium. It needs to be calcium citrate, or one with calcium citrate plus hydroxyapatite. And that's going to have the trace minerals that are important for bone. And, and you know, take it throughout the day, not just one big dose.
Exactly. Your body can't handle a ton all
exactly.
at once. And then another really important thing that we can't forget is exercise, especially that resistance training to build up the muscles. So at least 3-4 times a week for healthy bones.
So I think that will give people an idea of at least a place to start to build bones. And then if they need more help, an individual consultation probably makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
We had a person that asked a question about bifidobacteria, and they were wondering, when do you take bifidobacteria? And basically, you take it on an empty stomach, and it works. You know, we suggest like 10 to 15 minutes or even a half an hour before every meal is the most effective way to take bifidobacteria.
Right.
So we were talking about, before we started talking about all this osteoporosis, we were talking about basically digestive issues and how if you add bifidobacteria to a baby's formula or for the first 6 months, that you end up with less asthma, ADD, allergies, and all those things. And so let's continue our conversation.
So you're talking about, 40 to 60% less allergies, but we certainly are seeing a much bigger increase in digestive problems in babies. Specifically, colic is a huge problem. Acid reflux, they're putting these little babies on Nexium and Prevacid, and more children are experiencing asthma. So you have to ask the question, why would women have less bifidobacteria in their breast milk today? What are we doing?
Right. And, I guess I can think of several reasons, but the first reason that comes to the top of my mind is that everybody, or it seems like everybody, has been on antibiotics several times in a year or two span. And it would be silly to think we could get through life without antibiotics, but we need to replenish after we've used those antibiotics, replenish the good bacteria, because antibiotics do not discriminate. Yes, they're going to kill the bad bacteria, but they're also going to kill that good bacteria too. That good bifidobacteria in your small intestinal tract. And less bifidobacteria means poorer digestion.
So I think, because we have so many callers on our line, I think we'll take a few. Hi, Jeanette. This is Dishing Up Nutrition. You have a question for us today?
Yes. I have a 6-month-old baby that I am breastfeeding now, and she's had issues with eczema. I've kind of gotten that under control by removing milk from my diet.
Right.
I had her allergy tested, and it turns out she does have a low allergy to milk and a medium allergy to egg whites.
Okay.
And it was suggested to me that as long as her eczema has cleared up with the removal of milk, that I could go ahead and continue to eat eggs. And I'm just curious as to what sort of damage that's going to be doing to her digestive system if I'm consuming those allergens.
I think you would be much more, I think it would be wise for you to pull those out of your diet. I don't think anyone can really answer that question. But if you're putting an irritation into your baby at that age, it's going to affect something, whether it's digestion or whether it's the brain or whatever is going on. So if you, you know, just stop eating eggs and stop dairy products for now. And
don't you think she'll likely grow out of that 6-month-old?
It's a possibility, mm-hmm. Sure. Yes. But I think you're very wise. You have found
definitely
that connection, and I think that's great. How did you get so wise?
I listen to your show regularly.
All right, that's the answer you wanted. Your check's in the mail.
Well, that's, you know, and the common ones, certainly, when you're looking at that, would be the dairy, the eggs, and the other one would be gluten. But if that's not showing up, that's great. So thanks for the call, but I think you're doing great.
Thank you.
So should we take one more caller? I think what we should do is... Hi, Val. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. You have a question for us today. Val?
My question for you is going back to the Fosamax actinol issues.
Yes.
Now, I was on hormone replacement for a long time and obviously had some issues and went off of that. And they did a baseline bone density test for me. And then they went and waited a year, and I lost 7% of my bone density in a year.
Mm-hmm.
So then they put me on Fosamax, and I was on that for about 18 months. They did another test, and I lost another 3%.
Okay. Mm.
So then they kept me on Fosamax for another 18 months. No, then they switched me over to actinol.
Mm-hmm.
And then they waited 18 months and did another test, and my bone density had evened off, and it actually had improved a little bit. Now, I was still on it until just a few months ago, and I quit taking it, just stopped taking it.
Okay.
But my question is, what symptoms should I look for as far as that jaw disease? I'm a little concerned about that little jaw disease you've been talking about and bone deteriorating there.
Well, one of the reasons is that in your jawbone, you have this, your blood supply is affected. And so the nutrients, when you're taking these, these Fosamax type drugs.
Right.
And so that the minerals and everything is not circulated into those areas.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the longer you're on those medications, the more side effects the possibility is to have that.
Right. When I was on like over 4 years.
Yeah. I think what you do is probably, you know, talk to your dentist and see if they can see if you're experiencing any of that.
Okay.
I think you obviously, I don't know if you're doing other steps to make sure that you, maintain healthy bones. There's so many different things and so many different factors to consider when you're
mm-hmm.
working with someone. It certainly is not just the supplement or the calcium that you're taking.
Right, it's the exercising and things of that nature.
Well, and it's also looking at your digestion and, mm-hmm. you know, all those different things. So.
Yeah, you might want to consider a consult. I'm just thinking of some different case studies I've read where it came down actually to a gluten problem, and not to say that's you, but sometimes the point we're getting at is it can be very complicated in terms of why you're not absorbing the calcium.
Right. And it was an issue in my family. My mother had bone deterioration and osteoporosis.
And that's why then you start looking at possibility of a gluten sensitivity because then you're getting that malabsorption. So
what was that jaw disease called again that you said? What was the name of it?
It's just necrosis of the jaw. Necrosis of the jaw. NECROSIS.
Okay.
It basically means, necrosis means death. So your bone cells are dying off.
Yes.
All right.
But great for you that you're off of it. I think that's something that you need to feel good about.
Well,
and then,
I'm glad, and I just sort of, you know, inadvertently just stopped taking it for I don't know what for what reason, but I haven't taken it for a few months now, and so I'm glad now that I am off of it. So thank you very much.
Thank you
for listening.
Thank you. So you're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, a company bringing you leading-edge nutrition classes. We believe for adults to make changes in their health and eating habits, they need to understand the reason to eat this and not that. Most people understand that trans fats in muffins are bad for their cells and raise bad cholesterol. Our Weight and Wellness series teaches you what foods are the best choices for your health. You know, starting the week of April 27th, we have 14 different classes starting, and we have a special stimulus offer that Cassie will share when we come back.
Stay tuned.
So, yes, we'll be back in a minute.
FM 107.1. Laugh along.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Cassie Wienis, registered dietitian, and I'm here with nutritionists Anna Durhock and Darlene Kvist, and we've been discussing digestive health. Dar mentioned I'm going to tell you a little bit about a little stimulus package we have to offer you. First of all, I want to say maybe we have a little bit of a biased view, but we've always been very proud of our Weight and Wellness series of classes because we know that they really are life-changing for a lot of people in terms of their overall health. But now we have the numbers to prove it. Mm-hmm. We looked at their health surveys before they started. We looked at their health surveys after they ended. And what we saw in their different health conditions was an average of a 50% improvement in a variety of health symptoms.
And this is 6 weeks.
Just 6 weeks. So a lot of them would just continue to improve after that. And keep in mind, that's just the average. A lot of people saw a much greater improvement in their health symptoms as well. So these were things, improvements in the areas of digestion, energy a lot of times improves within the first week, less aches and pains, and a lot of people lose a significant amount of weight and keep it off. So our stimulus package, to encourage everyone to sign up this spring, we're offering $35 off when you sign up with a friend or a family member. Our regular price to start out with is just $225 for 12 hours of instruction. You also get a nutrition manual full of all the information you're going to learn, plus some additional reading materials. And there's a cookbook with delicious recipes that you get when you do this 6-week Weight and Wellness series. But again, sign up with a friend and the cost is discounted by $35 for each of you. Remember, cookbook, nutrition manual, and you're going to get a wonderful teacher. We have more teachers than we've ever had this time around, I think, and all of them are great, and they will help you make the changes you need to make. So for more information, check out our website. It's www.weightandwellness.com, and you'll find a time and a location near you.
And Anna, where are you teaching this coming time?
I am teaching in the Maple Grove class, and I absolutely love all my students. It's just been a pleasure to teach there and to get to know all of you who are listening. And I think just people really appreciate the different information that we give and just the tools to help them change, because that's really what we're there for, is to help them make lifestyle changes and to improve their health. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I just think people are just amazed about how inflammation plays a huge role in their health, how, you know, there's a lot of misconceptions about what's heart healthy, and they just love that information that we're giving them.
And don't you think when you teach them the whys behind what we're asking them to do, I think that's why our students are so much more successful than a lot of other people.
Because it motivates them. Mm-hmm. Exactly. They know why. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, back to that topic of digestion a little bit. One thing I want to throw out there to listeners, if you're pregnant right now or if you're a young woman thinking about becoming a mother soon, we've been talking about bifidobacteria. That is a wonderful thing to add to your prenatal regimen. Or even better, because we are a group of educators that really believes that food is the most healing factor in any health condition you're addressing. So even better than a bifidobacteria supplement would be to make your own yogurt and then, of course, eat it. Now, you're probably thinking, why can't I just keep it simple and go to the grocery store and pick out a yogurt? Well, I've spent hours in that yogurt aisle trying to find something good and affordable. But if you go and look at those yogurts, most of them contain just a small amount of bifidobacteria. And hey, if you're at home, go grab your yogurt out of your fridge right now and look at the ingredient list. Many of them have high fructose corn syrup. It's showing up in everything.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that, you're thinking, well, why is that bad? That actually feeds the bad bacteria. So you're adding insult to injury.
But What about all these yogurts that have the artificial sweeteners?
So many. It is so hard to find a yogurt that is not low fat. And when they're low fat, low calorie, a lot of times they've added either Splenda or Equal or some type of artificial sweetener. These things hurt us at a very cellular level. And that means those artificial sweeteners are going to be dangerous to the development of that baby.
One commercial yogurt that we have found that actually has the good bacteria, the bifidobacteria in high levels, is one called Nancy's. Mm-hmm. And it tastes great. And if you're not used to, you know, buying or eating plain yogurt, you can, you know, sweeten it with a little fruit and pure maple syrup, and it tastes awesome.
And I think that most of the co-ops have Nancy's yogurt.
Yep.
And I think Lund's usually does.
I've seen it at Lund's, too.
It just kind of
depends. Lund's and Byerly's.
Yeah.
You know, I have to tell you, ladies, we have to take a break.
No.
You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness. If you have a digestive problem, we're teaching our gut reaction class at many different locations in the next 2 weeks. In fact, on Monday night, April 13th, we'll be teaching it at our White Bear office. So if you'd like times and locations, please call our office. It's 651-699-3438. And when we come back, we want to cover just a little bit of information on heartburn. So stay tuned if you have acid reflux, and we can give you some hints and tips.
Living Life Out Loud on FM 107.1. Laugh along.
Welcome back. As Dar told you when we left, we're going to help you maybe get rid of your acid reflux or your heartburn. But before we give you those tips, a couple things. I do want to let you know before the end of the hour here that if we didn't get to your call today, or if you have questions that you didn't get a chance to call in with, Anna is going to be at our St. Paul office this morning and into the early afternoon. So you can call her there with questions we didn't get to. The number at St. Paul is 651-699-3438. And also, because we're on the topic of digestion this morning, I just want to let all of you out there know who are experiencing irritable bowel-like syndromes. There really is no one set cause of irritable bowel syndrome, but it often is largely related to the foods that you're putting into your mouth. And for some people, it's actually a food allergy. For some people, part of it is certain medications that they might be on. So my bottom line here is that there can be many different causes of irritable bowel, and that's the reason why it often is best to have a therapeutic nutritionist help you sort out the cause and help teach you how to rebalance your intestinal tract and get rid of those symptoms. So if you're interested in a one-on-one session there too, you could call the office at 651-699-3438. So back to acid reflux. A lot of people in this country with acid reflux or heartburn, my first recommendation to all of you experiencing acid reflux is to stop drinking the pop.
Secondly is to reduce the sugar.
Right. You know, and processed carbohydrates turn into a lot of sugar. So sometimes it's not the obvious when we say sugar, like the candy and the frosted donuts, but it might be too much white bread. Too many cookies, too many muffins.
Yep. Reduce bread products. Gluten is a definite no-no and will definitely inflame your intestinal tract and cause heartburn.
And two more things. Add bifidobacteria before each meal and before bedtime. Take some magnesium glycinate, 300 milligrams, and 2 acidophilus capsules.
And thank you for listening. Food can be your problem, and we believe it should be your solution.